الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة، فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه إلى يوم القيامة. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down a book upon His servant, and He made no crookedness therein. And we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He never had a wife, nor did He beget a child. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger. And we ask Allah to exalt His mention, grant Him peace, and send His salutations and His blessings upon Him for having fulfilled that which He was entrusted with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows. Verily the most truthful speech is the Qur'an, the book of Allah, and the worst of affairs are those we introduce into this deen of ours. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will end up in the hellfire. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be mindful of Him the way He deserves it, and do not die except as Muslims. Why? Why do you have to die as a Muslim? And why can you not afford to die as a non-Muslim? Because it is what this whole life and the purpose of life is all about. Everything we're seeing now shall perish. Every experience, every job, every existence will cease, will perish, will diminish, will disappear. And then your faith, your belief system is what will save one of us or destroy one of us. I had discussed in the previous khutbah, my brothers, a phenomenon that has become widespread. It started out in the West and it has reached the East, and it's becoming a global epidemic among the Muslims, and that is atheism and doubting things which there is no room to doubt. It is not a matter of fiqh, where there is a difference of opinion which is entertained because of the scholar's perception, whether the hadith is authentic or not, or how to apply it, and so on and so forth. There's room in our deen in this regard. There's flexibility in this regard. But we're not dealing with that type of stuff. We're dealing with Muslims second guessing the Quran, asking questions based on the opinion of scientists on whether the Quran is authentic or not, whether the Quran is reliable or not. Something that puzzles you. If you are involved in da'wah in any way, then you can affirm this firsthand. If you're not, then you may think that it doesn't exist, but it does. Now, the purpose behind the khutbah is not to bring to your attention something that you do not need to know about, therefore creating a conflict when there is none. Rather, it is means of preparation, precautionary measures we have to take in regards to ourselves, first and foremost, then our wives and children, to make sure that when they grow up and these type of belief systems and ideologies become more widespread, they're not affected by them. And we have to instill in them the right belief system. Because these scientists are as crazy as human beings can get, unless they believe in Allah. But if they don't believe in Allah, then sometimes being too intelligent is stupid. If you think your intelligence is going to make you believe that we came by some random explosion without any power, which we believe is Allah behind it, then you are crazy. Even if the people perceive you to be the genius of the century. So every time a flashy name comes into this business and he says something about the Quran, certain Muslims are shook. And they send these messages. Brother, some person, some Shi'i, someone told me that the Quran is not reliable. Why? Because the Quran spoke about the fact that Allah made this earth widespread, mahdan. And He made the sky a ceiling. So the Quran is teaching us that the earth is flat, but we believe, as per the scientists, that the earth is round. So the Quran now is no longer reliable because it is conflicting supposedly with scientific facts. And if you're taking time thinking about this now, that's an issue. Because if you're going to allow any type of ideas as such to make you doubt whether the Quran is actually from Allah, or whether the Quran is preserved or not, or whether it is reliable or not, then we have a serious issue. And this is the very objective of this khutbah. Even if no one were to answer this question for you, this should never make you doubt what Allah has revealed. You doubt your understanding, you doubt the interpretation, you doubt the language barrier, you doubt the scientist's view, you doubt everything on the list except what Allah revealed in the Quran. That is not open for doubt. It is not where you better give me a good answer, otherwise I'm going to lose my faith. What do you mean you're going to lose your faith? Because of some James Robinson somewhere in the world? Whatever their names may be, khalas? Have you not seen in this Quran enough miracles, enough authority, enough evidence and proof to believe that this is from Allah and it cannot be touched by human beings? Isn't 1400 plus years long enough for you to see, my brother, that the Quran cannot be altered or changed no matter what attempts the human beings make? Do you not see that war against Islam everywhere you go? Don't you think they can easily conspire to change the Quran and then we will have no reliable reference? Where are they? They can't. So they resort to ridiculing the Prophet ﷺ, ridiculing Islam, ridiculing our belief, ridiculing the hijab. They have to go do different things because the Quran cannot be touched. Otherwise, they would change it like the Bible has been changed and it's over. Then we would have a Bible for the Sunnis and a Quran for the Sunnis and a Quran for the Shia and a Quran for the Durzis and all these different groups which have introduced themselves into this deen. They will have their own version of the Quran also. Like the Catholics and the Protestants and the born agains and the rest of those. But this is not the case. Because the book of Allah has been preserved by Allah. So when Allah reveals something and it is explicitly mentioned in the Quran, brother in Islam, you may not open the door for verification by some third party for you to be at ease now. Okay, now I feel good. This is the actual book of Allah. No such opportunity. And this is why the first thing after you recite the Fatiha, the very first surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, begins with Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That book or this book, there's absolutely no doubt in it. So when you read the rest of the Quran, you've already established this foundation. There's no doubt in it. So not every every time you come across an ayah, you get confused. Dhulqarnain went to the edge and he saw the sun setting as if it was going into the big. So now they say, look, the Quran doesn't even know about the circular motion of the sun and the moon and the earth. Ya akhi, Allah yahdik. How gullible you can be. How vulnerable you are. Do you not understand the context of words? Do you not understand figurative language? Do you not understand who the audience of the Quran was? It was desert Arabs with camels, goats and sheep. There were no doctors to be speaking to them on these scientific terms. It spoke to the people as they understood it. And we're able to deduce from the Quran scientific facts and scientific miracles, no doubt. But we do not want to base our faith on those, because science is inconsistent. Science is unreliable. They say something today, they say something else different. If you attach their theoretical views to the Quran and then they differ on what the scientific fact is, now you've made the Quran open for doubt among the Muslims. And this is something we cannot do. And we do not want to be responsible for. The Quran is greater than that. The Quran is beyond that. The Quran is above that. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. This Quran will guide you to that which is more straight. No matter how straight it gets, the Quran will guide you to that which is straight, and there's no crookedness in this book. So whenever you read the Quran, you must refer to the interpretations of these ayat. And if language is a barrier, then it is incumbent on us to learn the Arabic language. If one of us is unable to remove the doubt, except by learning the language, it becomes obligatory on this person to learn Arabic, so he can read the Quran and understand the meaning. Because you cannot live your life doubting whether the Quran is from Allah or not, or whether humans change it or not. If you die in this state, then you may die as a disbeliever. Because from the conditions of La ilaha illallah is al-yaqeen, certainty. And this is not certainty. What is in the Quran has to be certain. And the ayat that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us are proof and evidence about the superiority of the Quran over any human speech or any so-called divine scripture. Just close your eyes and look at the world and the religions they're in, and find me another religion with a book like ours. You will never be able to do so. Even if you were the most ignorant of laymen, this is evident before everyone. Even those who don't believe in Islam have no choice but to admit about the unique trait of the Quran, which is not found in other scriptures. Over thousands of years consistency. And even if they were to burn the books, and this is another unique element in the Quran, if the disbelievers were to agree on collecting all the masahif in the world somehow, hypothetically speaking, and they managed to burn all of them, so much so that we wake up one day and have not even a single physical book of the Quran, we will be able to make one within 24 hours. We will bring some of these children from the masjid who have memorized the book of Allah from cover to cover, and make them recite it with tajweed, with tashkil, each diacritical sign where it's supposed to be, whether a or u or e. And we will write it right back down and print it the next day. Who can say this about their book? Nobody. This is what we have. We're going to doubt it because of science? Science might drive you crazy if you think too much. Some of these figures which come into this world, ridiculous figures, speak as if they have some authority in this dunya. Can't even get out of the wheelchair. Who put you in this wheelchair? Who made you disabled? Allah! And now you act like you know who brought what. And they have followers who are dumber than they are. And these are the types of people that Allah will gather in Jahannam together. Because Allah told us about them in Surah Yaseen. Does the human being not see that we created him from nutfah, from a semen drop? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. All of a sudden he wants to argue now. He wants to argue with Allah and with the revelation of Allah and with the deen of Allah. You came from a semen drop, as disgusting and lowly as that can be. And now that Allah nurtured you, Allah allowed your body to develop, Allah allowed your intelligence to develop. No other power can maintain you like that. No electricity, no gravity, nothing. Allah alone maintains. Now that you're a grown man, you want to fight with Allah? You're declaring war against Allah? This is for the non-Muslims who have plenty of problems already in their belief system. But what about you, my brother? Are you going to follow this route of destruction? Or are you going to be firm on this deen? Look, none of us is perfect. Allah knows what type of sins we engage in. And someone may fall into all types of sins whom we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive all of us for. But there's one thing, my brothers, we can never play around with. Our aqeedah, our faith, our belief system in Allah. Don't let the wind swerve you. Don't be like a feather in the wind. This is where you have to be a tree, firmly grounded in the earth. No matter what they throw towards you, don't even bother or pay attention. Know that Allah has given us what no other nation has gotten. And know that we are the last of nations. And know that this Quran will remain until the end of time. Until the people stop acting upon it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise it as He revealed it and sent it down. And then afterwards it's over. It's Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's over. And on that day, the only thing which will benefit is what we believe today. So be careful of atheism. Be careful of doubting the Qur'an. Be careful on measuring the authenticity of the Qur'an per scientific theories or evidences. This is not open for discussion. Either you are qualified and specialized in this field because you use it to give da'wah, so you already know the criteria, or you don't, so leave this business alone. Sometimes we bring doubts upon ourselves by exploring too much into areas we have no knowledge of. The average Sunni wants to debate with the average Shia. After they're done, now the Sunni has 20 problems. Akhi, he told me this, and he told me that, and I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. Now you have to fix the problem. And then you give him an answer, the answer is not satisfactory, the next day he's a Shia. Who told you to go to speak to him to begin with? It is not your business, ya akhi. Either you are knowledgeable and qualified so you know how to deal with it, or you don't. Mind your business and keep a peace of mind. It's common sense. So we have to know our limits and barriers. And in the second part of the khutbah, inshallah, we will look at one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is perfectly fit for this fitna which we are going through now. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers in Islam, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given what the scholars say جوامع الكلم, and that is the concision and the precision in words. Meaning he would say very few words that were extremely rich in meaning. One sentence, and then the scholars will deduce hundreds of rulings and benefits from a single sentence by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in one of these examples, he explained to us something which we may be going through. In fact, we are going through. But it is directly applicable to the issue we're having at hand. He said, as in the hadith in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, that the fitan, the trials, and the scholars explain this to be all types of doubts, all types of innovations, all types of acts of polytheism and idolatry, all of these types of things, even the sins, the general sins, major and minor, all of them are presented to the heart. They are presented to the heart. When that fitna is presented to the heart, either the heart will yashrabuha, it's like almost drink it. The actual literal translation is, it will drink it, meaning it will absorb it. And so it will leave a black dot in this heart. Or the heart will reject it. So it will leave a white dot in the heart. And this will continue to be the case. And he said in the beginning of the hadith, actually, these fitan will be presented like a straw mat. Like straws in the straw mat. When you make a straw mat, you begin with one, two, you put them together, then more, then more, then more, until you have something firm you can sleep on. Before that, it was very flimsy, very weak. But with consistency and one after the other, it becomes strong. So much so that you use it. He said they will continue to be like that, like the straws in the straw mat. So your heart will either absorb it, it will have a black dot, or it will reject it, it will have a white dot. This will continue to be the case until either you have a completely white heart that will never be harmed by any fitan as long as the heavens and the earth exist, or the heart will become black. It will not know what is good, and it will not forbid what is evil except of that which is in agreement with its desires and whims. So what we are presented with in terms of these trials, if we accept them and open the door, they will continue and continue until the person's heart becomes completely diseased. And once the heart is diseased, any type of doubt which you throw at it, it will absorb it automatically. It will find a place in the heart, and then this person will become completely lost, completely misguided, that no matter what you do, there's no way to bring them back to the path. But it all started at some point in time. Allah doesn't do this to us out of nowhere. This happens as a result of our own earnings, our own choices, our own decisions, and so forth. But the point of interest in this hadith is these fitan, my brothers, these trials, these doubts which are presented. Be careful of entertaining them, because they'll be followed with another one, then another one, then another one, until you become in total doubt about what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed. And if you doubt what Allah revealed, then your Islam becomes meaningless. And if your Islam becomes meaningless and you die, then you know where you will end up. And there's no one who can fix it for one of us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. No connection, no power, no authority, no family member, no angel, no messenger, no one can intercede for someone who died as a disbeliever. If we die as believers, there's room for shafa'ah from many sources, inshallah. But if we die as disbelievers, no one can help. Khalas, it will be over. This is why we have to be very careful. We can differ in this masjid about fiqh position. We can differ on so many areas in our religion that allow this difference, but we can never ever differ about the fundamentals of this faith. We can never differ about Allah Azza wa Jal. We can never differ about who the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. We can never differ about the revelation of the Quran. We can never differ about the Sunnah being a reference and a revelation from Allah, with an extra step required of verification by the scholars of hadith. These are areas which we cannot differ on, because differing will cause difference in religions. So my brothers in faith, protect yourselves from all of these things which will create this doubt. Filter what you hear, filter what you see, filter what you learn. And make sure you're always referring to the right sources. Don't debate with people whom you're unable to debate with, Because while you think you're giving da'wah and service to Islam, you're actually getting da'wah and doing a disservice to Islam. رحم الله امرئ عرف قدر نفسه. May Allah have mercy on a person who knew his own limitations. If you don't know about a particular science, just don't speak about it. The same way you don't see a patient waiting for the doctor, and you're waiting for the doctor as well, and you start giving this patient your own prescription, and you do your own diagnosis. If you were so good, you would be the doctor. Let the doctor do his job, and you mind your business, because you may kill this person with your lack of knowledge, with your wrong, erroneous diagnosis. We all agree to that. It's a very logical example. This is more so in the matters of religion. This is more serious in the matters of religion. Not to speak about these issues if you're not qualified. Don't be given no da'wah to no Shi'i, or to no Sufi, or to no I don't know what, if you don't have the ability to do so. If you debate, then they beat you. Now you are in a situation where you need reinforcement. You should have not gone into there to begin with. Either you go solid, or you stay behind. And Allah Azza wa Jal will facilitate someone else to do the job. There's always someone who will call to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It does not have to be one of us if we don't have the means to do so. Let it come from Allah. And we don't want to squeeze ourselves into these areas. I'm saying this as a general warning, based on the many examples of young teenagers who are eager about our religion, eager to practice the sunnah, but not enough knowledge. And they enter into this world, and then they come out all destroyed, full of doubts. And what they once were using as means of da'wah, now they need someone to give them da'wah. Now you have to do double the job. And it is not appropriate. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep our hearts firm on His feet. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar. Brothers in Islam, using your smartphone or your phone during the khutbah nullifies the reward of the khutbah. The Prophet ﷺ said, for the person who plays with pebbles, if you were sitting in the masjid and the khatib is giving the khutbah, and assuming we didn't have a carpet, we had pebbles, we're sitting on them and you start picking them up and playing with them, then there's no reward for you listening. It's gone. It's gone. You only get the reward of praying in the jama'ah for the rak'atayn. But the reward associated with khutbah al-jum'ah is completely gone. This is if you got busy with some pebbles. This, of course, by analogy, applies to playing with the shimab, playing with your thumb, playing with your fingers, with your toes, anything which may distract you from listening attentively for these 25-30 minutes maximum. You can scratch, you can move. This is all within the allowed and acceptable. Obviously, you're not a statue. You can move. But you cannot busy yourself with anything that will distract you from the main objective of coming here. So taking out the phone and then using it, that completely disconnects you from the khatib. No reward for Jumu'ah. So please be careful in the future. Same applies to drinking water while the khatib is given khutbah. The same thing applies to any type of activity which is not part of this ibadah. It will nullify the reward of khutbah. The Prophet ﷺ said, if your brother makes noise and you tell him, shh, be quiet, and you say something, you have also nullified the reward of your khutbah. If you merely used words, some of the scholars say you may gesture with your hand. You know, say just relax, calm down. If your son is running around too much, you can keep him down, no problem. But if you were to verbally say a single word, even though you're enjoining the good and forbidden evil, no reward for Jumu'ah. These are based on a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. So that's why the etiquette is, you come, you listen attentively, you try to understand what is going on, and then once the salah is established, you're free to do whatever you want. It's discipline, but it's part of our deen. We ask Allah to make us among those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Aqim as-salah.